It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're back with more of the Spiegel and Holmes show. Live from Stadium Swim inside Circa Las Vegas. Home of the world's largest sports book on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I get a good feeling.
It's so weird watching opening day open up all around the country from our vantage point here at Stadium Swim. And I was like, I do not recognize that ballpark. And I walk out and I'm like, oh, that's where the Rays are playing this year.
Oh, dude.
And what a random way to start the season. Rays and Rockies.
Yeah, man.
Seeing Chris Bryant run out there being introduced as the DH for the Rockies. And it's be like, oh, that's right. There are going to be two teams playing in minor league ballparks this year.
How about the Athletics, who used to be in Philly and then Kansas City and then Oakland and are now in Sacramento? Like, you can't call yourselves the Athletics when you move to Vegas, right? When you move to the fifth place.
I don't think they're moving here.
You don't think they're moving here?
I do not.
I guess it's shock Shane. That opinion was shocking.
I think you don't think so.
I don't think they're gonna make it here.
Well, that's interesting. I don't think we can
do a friendly bet for 3 years down the road.
All right, let's do that.
I'll be living in Montreal, and you can just Venmo me a dollar, a picture of a dollar.
You'll be the Tony La Russa of some show in Montreal. People be like, I want to talk about the Montreal Bagels and just how silly they are. And you'd be like, you relax, you're high.
I'll be talking about FC Montreal MLS soccer as my part time. I'm going to be the Rosner of Montreal.
Actually, sounds like a pretty good life, I got to tell you.
It actually does. Now that I think about it.
You know, he's Lawrence Holmes, the Rosner of Montreal, which was a great Edgar Allan Poe.
It was. Yeah. That poem is one of my favorites.
It's really thoughtful. I didn't know anybody was behind the brick wall at that point.
It was really, really excellent. The Cubs last night, they did their thing. I was happy to see it. Ian Happ had a great night for the Cubs.
He did.
You got to see Tucker come in there and drive a run in. I felt like the headline for me of game three, because remember, this was the domestic opening for the Cubs. The headline for me was Cubs lineup works as expected.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, they need to get production from those two guys, PCA and Miguel Amaya, were really terrific in like the last 5 to 6 weeks of the season. The numbers, their OPS plus overall, way better than every other part of the year. And they both had good springs, and both of them are expected and needed to step up. And last night they did. PCA made a small play that is key. And I know we're going to hear from Jed Hoyer in a second. And people need to, because it's connected to the Jed stuff that you're going to hear. We talked to Jed yesterday, the 5 o'clock hour. But there was a play where PCA was on first, and a shortstop for the Diamondbacks made a terrible, terrible choice, and it came back to bite them. Here's that play from last night.
Shaw waits, the 2-2. A bouncing ball hit to short, fielded by Perdomo. His throw at second, not in time! PCA beats out the play, and the Cubs have the bases loaded.
Excellent play by Pete Crow Armstrong at first. So first and second, you know, they're not holding Pete Crow Armstrong on at first. So he gets a huge jump on this ground ball, and he goes flying in. The thing is, Perdomo lays back on this ground ball. He does not come and get it. If he comes and get it, he can shuffle this ball to Marte and get an easy force out at second. He does not. And great hustle by Pete Crow Armstrong, and he's safe at second to extend this inning.
Craig Counsell talked about PCA's speed last night because the next batter was Miguel Amaya, who had a three-run double off the glove of Corbin Carroll. Here's Counsell.
The Pete base running play is a play that is the type of thing we talked about a bunch this spring and a type of thing that I think we're capable of executing. You know, in that case, it was just we had the right guy in the right spot, but it's also the care factor of getting a big getting an aggressive secondary lead and thinking I can beat out, you know, a routine ground ball to shortstop. And the care factor is what's really important there.
Here's Cliff Floyd on Marquee after the game talking about PCA and his impact.
Yeah, he's a difference maker.
He is.
And, you know, when you think about his adjustments, I think that's what the league is all about. When you're not comfortable, and you could see it on his face last year, he was trying to fit in. He was trying to, and that's what every youngster do. You try to fit in and come up and showcase your talents. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. But I think when we saw him last year, it was just the uncertainty that was standing out more than the player and the stuff.
Good teams do stuff like that. Teams that maximize what they have do stuff like that. Whether you think of the Tom Kelly Piranhas and
the Piranhas.
Right? And the Ron Gardenhire twins too. Or whether, frankly, you think of Craig Counsell's Milwaukee Brewers. Like, you can overachieve by doing little stuff like that to extend innings.
And that's part of the reason that, like, when we talked with Jed yesterday, I wanted to ask him about PCA. Because the to me speaks, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, because you know you're our baseball guy here at the Score.
I'm your Carrot Top guy now. That's my identity.
You're 100% our Carrot Top guy. That is not in dispute, sir. That is not. You deliver Carrot Top.
Never take
show.
That away from you. That's yeah. On
no,
your banner.
That is,
tell you what, it's the Sunday morning Carrot Top show is a big hit.
It should be.
Yeah.
But I look at the Cubs and say, okay, you added a guy who I think is a 6 WAR player. Can you also create a guy who's a 6 WAR player?
Man.
And when I look at who's available for them to create, the only person that comes, I'm sure Ian will be a 4-win player. Dansby, because of his position, will be a 4-win player.
And maybe more if the offense can do what it does.
And I'm not as high on Shaw as you are.
Yeah.
Maybe it's him at some point. But
maybe.
I think PCA, and I've had a 180 turn on PCA. I think that he is the most likely to outperform projections. And if you are able to get him to a place where he's legitimately a 4-5 win player, mm-hmm. this season, you're in great shape as a team.
And he's got a great start on that with the defensive position and the defensive quality and the base running. And it's really all about the plate discipline to get him to that next level. And there's a little pop there, too. I mean, that's why we get so excited about him. But what there is there, there's great instincts, man. There's great instincts and there's great baseball swagger from a dude who is maturing before our eyes.
Yeah, I really loved everything we saw. Him being smart enough to be like, hey, you know what? Let me attach myself to Justin Turner.
Hell yeah.
Like, there's a guy who's seen it all, right? Like, he's done it all in his career. Let me just pick his brain. And seeing those two guys interact the way that they did in Japan, and Jed even told us that yesterday, too, that he thought was really important, and he hopes it's important to what it is that the Cubs are and what they hope to do.
Yeah.
But the burning question for any Cubs fan is, are these guys good? Like, they asked you on Hit and Run last week. Cubs fans that wanted to talk were like, how good are they? Are they going to actually be competitive? We talked with Jed about this and asked him if he thought his team was a 90-win team.
Unclear. I mean, I think there's projection systems that say yes. There's projection systems that say no. I mean, ultimately, I think the beauty of this game is, you know, we need to go out and every day as an organization, from front office to coaching staff to players, like, we need to try to exceed expectations and we need to optimize our performance. And that's really, to me, opening day is it's the first tee shot off the tee box. It's the, you know, it's the first game of the season, and it sort of signals that baseball's back. But ultimately for me, it's just, okay, this is the journey, and we need to, as a group, we need to outperform. And that goes really for everybody in the league, right? I think if we outperform, I think that we have a chance to be that 90-win team you're talking about, to you know, feel like we have a really deep, solid team. I think, but every team in baseball, I think, is looking to outperform and to get the best out of their guys, and you know, that's what starts today.
So, look, I know that if there's a Cubs fan who's listening to Spiegel and Holmes right now, they're probably groaning when they hear that, because they're like, really? Like, we're doing this again where it has to be an outperformance? That's why I'm trying to, when I'm thinking about the Cubs, I'm trying to think of who could actually do it. I don't think it's fair to ask Dansby Swanson at this point in his career to outperform projections. I know the contract says different.
Well, not only that, but the quality of offense last year as compared to the 2 or 3 years before says that there's more there, and it's his responsibility to find it.
I would be fine if he plays to projection. That's what I'm saying. Like, I expect him to play to projection.
Yeah.
And that to me is the accountability on him. But with PCA, there's still not enough of a sample size in the majors to know what type of player he actually is.
Yeah.
So to me, that's someone that I can identify and go, there's a place where playing over your projections could actually happen, and it's fair.
To that Cubs fan who's listening to the show right now, I wonder who they get mad at. If they get mad about, man, we need to overdo our projections, what the hell? Are they mad at Jed for that? Or does their madness go higher? And is the way that Jed talks about it giving you an opportunity to think about it? Have there been things that have gone on this spring, the way that Jed has talked and the way that ownership has talked, that allow you to aim perhaps not directly at Jed? Is that, I mean, we know he wanted Alex Bregman badly. And Alex Bregman wanted to come to the Cubs.
And Roky Sasaki.
Now, Roky, there was a limit to how much they could offer because of the posting and the timing and the way that works. And I think Roky decided he wanted L.A. either because of Shohei or because of L.A. and the Dodgers' largesse and all of that.
100%.
And it's a bummer.
I just wanted to point out that, amen, Jed made it clear when they were in Japan. Like, you could hear him on the marquee broadcast being like,
wanted him desperately.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good.
But Bregman is one where if the number was higher, the player might be here. And then the projections might be there, you know? So I wonder where the Cub fans' anger goes to when they hear Jed talk this way.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think we both had the same reaction after the interview, where you could read into what he said if you wanted to, and what he has said throughout the spring. But we asked him about being jealous of what the Mets have, what the Dodgers have, the amount of spending that they can do. Here's what he told us.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's probably life, right? I think that when I drive to the Lakes, you know, Sheridan to head down to work some days, like, do I stop and get jealous and unable to complete my day looking at some of the houses on the water? Like, no, I don't. You got to do the best you can with what you have. And I think that's a job, right? You can't get jealous of everyone else. You know, they have their own challenges and own problems. And I think, you know, just knowing, you know, we knew what our payroll was. We knew what we had to do. And I think, you know, we worked hard this offseason to build the best team possible within that. And I just don't think you can get distracted by what others have. I don't think you can get distracted by, you know, jealousy as to your word or whatever, or complaining about it. You just move forward and try to do the best you can. And I think that there's only a handful of those in baseball, and that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, we went biblical at that point. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's payroll.
And
you can't. So then the question becomes, what did he do with what he can control? Like, if he used the serenity to accept the things he cannot control, you know what I mean? Like, what did he do? He controlled the bottom of the roster. John Birdie's a better guy to have here. Gage Workman's a better guy to have here than Nick Madrigal and Miles Mastromoni.
There's no doubt about it.
You know, he went and got Eli Morgan from Cleveland. That's a better dude to have towards the bottom of the bullpen than what he had. He found a way to go get Ryan Presley. Okay, he traded a bunch for Kyle Tucker. He gave up a prospect that he might regret giving up for Kyle Tucker. But he went and did some stuff that he could. I'll tell you this: the Cody Bellinger trade is a straight-up salary dump. Now, Cody Poteet got DFA'd. Cody Poteet, the pitcher they got from the Yankees, got DFA'd the other day. So you got nothing. And you didn't end up replacing that money on the payroll. You didn't replace all of it. You know, remember those conversations? We thought they were going to replace all
of
it. And he tried to. They tried to with Bregman. And maybe they tried to with another thing that we don't know about. Or I mean, maybe they tried to with a starting pitcher that they didn't end up getting. I like Matthew Boyd, by the way, and we won't see him for a little while. But I think that's a pretty good five with an opportunity for a much higher ceiling. But, like, so what did Jed do with what he could control? Did a decent job with what he could control.
And we'll see how it ends up working out. It's interesting seeing people react to it via text or inside the mob.
Yeah, what are you getting?
Well, I mean, most people have kind of gotten to this place of, I'm angry at Jed, but I understand that he's got budgetary limits, and the budgetary limits are out there on the Ricketts family.
Yeah.
I think that people do want to see him try and do the best with what he does have.
Yeah.
But they understand that there's a limiting factor, and that's the budget that he's playing with. And it makes one wonder, too, if you're Jed and you do have success, obviously you'd like to see some of this stuff through. But you're also in a position, this is the flip side of the free agency. This is the flip side of him having one more year, being in the last year of his deal, is that if things do go well, he can be like, well, look, man, I'll stay. But I need a commitment that I am going to be armed with all of the things that I need to compete in today's baseball.
When you really zoom out and look at it, there's not many teams who are trying to do what the Cubs are trying to do, which is live at a payroll that approaches the first competitive balance tax level, but not go over it. You know, there's not, like, the Atlanta Braves are the comp that I continue to make because there's not many teams trying to do it. And what the Braves have done is assemble a young core and try to lock them all up and hope that they all work out, right? And then fill in by having a great system. And Spencer Strider is still cheap, and now he's back. Schwellenbach, their other starting pitcher, I like that dude a lot, is cheap as hell, and they haven't locked him up. So
that's a good Sandler name.
Schwellenbach. Yeah, you're right.
That's a good Sandler name right there.
You're right. But like,
Danny, you get Sandler on the show now.
Yeah, Danny, my identity is the Carrot Top guy.
Okay.
You know? Shane is the Maddox guy. Shane is the Greg Maddox guy and the Musburger guy. Tanny, you got to step up and get Sandler.
Sorry, I definitely need to do more. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you really do.
I mean, really I can't think of anyone who needs to do more.
Shane, you agree he's not doing enough?
Shane's in any event,
to show today.
But
so
one of Sandler's guys in his band is a big Chicago guy, right? So that's something that we could possibly attain, you know?
Yeah, I think we got a shot to attain that.
And then we have him say,
we're working on it. So,
yeah.
You know, as always, you got to put it out there in the public space. So, you know, if anyone likes me out there in the audience, you could do me a solid. My job's on the line here. I got to get Adam Sandler on the show.
Yes.
Texture with a good question. Why does nobody look as hungover as Danny used to look during the Vegas shows? That's a really good question.
I think we're
all responsible adults, I think, is the answer.
Look, there was definitely some irresponsibility that was going on last night, too. But I think that Danny, he is Mr. Vegas. So he loves it out here. And he is like, look, I get it, especially now with a couple of young kids. He's like, this is some freedom. Yeah, so go out there and go hard.
When you get out here,
And again, hindsight is 20/20 on this stuff, listeners. You know, you see Danny now with the hair people, the makeup people, the wardrobe people. Like, you know, you look back in hindsight and you see Danny. Like, yeah, that's just how Danny was.
Well, and now before. Now he knows if he does get hungover that the Fox people with their IV will come to the hotel.
Or Mitch, for some reason. Remember when Mitch brought, you know, offered to bring the IV at the Super Bowl?
Oh, he's helping me out today. He brought me hot tea.
Yeah,
so.
he brought you, but that's his job, man. He's going to take care of you.
I'm going to need another one, though.
I'll tell you.
Don't rely on Mitch anymore because he's got his party shorts on.
That's
what I'm saying. The transition has taken place.
Yeah, Mitch has got the shorts on,
dude,
and the polo.
Party Mitch has arrived, baby.
He has.
It's going to happen. Now, I think all the waitresses need to watch out.
I agree with all of that. We need to take a break because we want to take people inside the buildings, man. Yesterday was so wild. We've got two guests that were both inside the buildings for the wildness. Our guy Cody Westerlund is going to talk Bulls-Lakers with us. And then Connor McKnight is going to talk White Sox with us. Cody is next. Let's talk about that game winner with him and what it was like to be in the building on the school.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking, second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.